Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the In The Mixer podcast. Today, it's the episode of Champions, and joined with me is my champions, Phil and Elias.
Hello.
Hello.
I feel like we've got to say that these two are actually on the same microphone in the same room today as part of the In The Mixer tour, leg three. Taking a brief stop off in Phil's studio.
And next week I'm going to be in your studio and see how we do it then.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Wait, you're there on Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Monday.
Okay, that's cool.
Oh, wait, yeah, how's that?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not there Monday, I'm sure.
Oh, no, because I'm going to London, yeah.
So,
you're unavailable Monday.
I'm unavailable Monday, so yeah.
Okay. Breaking news, Elias isn't here next week.
The next leg of the podcast is a mystery. So we'll jump straight into things here in part one. We're going to talk about the teams that have recently been crowned champions and the recently promoted teams. So the obvious place to start is obviously Manchester City crowned champions on Sunday evening after United lost 1-0 to West Brom. But we'll go to their game first. Sorry, Phil. Manchester City 3, Spurs 1. How do you feel?
Great performance by the Spurs boys.
All right.
After half time until about the 60th minute.
So 15 minutes total time.
15 minutes total time. I'll be honest, Man City absolutely played Spurs off the park, and it was actually very disappointing. It was weird, though, because obviously, for some reason, Spurs were favourites because of Manchester City's like losing three games in a row. But like the way they lost those three games, I don't think gave Spurs the credence to be the favourites this game, considering how badly they played against Stoke last weekend. So that was a surprise.
Yeah, I tweeted during the game, and I still kind of feel the same way. I think it's a credit to City as well, that you can watch Tottenham play really well, but they're also really bad at the same time. Tottenham...
I believe they have a word for that, Michael.
Average.
Spursy.
Oh, okay.
Spursy. Like, Tottenham did really well, but then just lost 3-1 and got battered at the same time. I literally have no description as to how I could, like, sum up the game. Spurs lost when they won.
Yeah, like, I didn't see anything. Like, it's, as Phil said, or as you said, the Spurs' performance, you didn't really see anything that positive from Spurs. Like, the attack didn't really work out, but they scored a goal. But they also looked like conceding more than three. Of course, Sterling missed a few vital chances there.
Jesus really as been. Well.
Yeah, Jesus as well with his left foot. That was one of the best shots I've seen this season.
So yeah, it was a really odd one, but of course that didn't clinch the title, and as interesting as that game was, the eyes went to United on Sunday night, and I don't think actually everyone really paid attention to this because they just assumed that United were going to win, and then of course they lost, no. And you didn't think United were going to win.
No, I'm saying you're right. Like literally, we didn't watch the game because we thought United were sewn up.
Yeah. And I went on Twitter in the 87th... Oh, I went on my phone in the 87th minute, saw the score, went straight to all of people I follow, like, that are Man United fans, and just retweeted all the things at the start of the game. And that was it. That's literally all I did.
Yeah, Phil's girlfriend mentioned in the 17th minute, oh, so City are winning the title today. And we were like, what?
The
United are losing to West Brom. We were like, okay.
It was that irrelevant. I literally forgot that the game, like, that City could have won the league. If United lost, but
wasn't it Jeff Shreves was just hanging about at the Manchester City training ground with Vincent Kompany after, like, I just imagine Jeff Shreves sitting there like Sky for like, oh, we need to get you out of shot, just go to the Man City training ground for a couple of weeks, we'll call it. And then they're like, oh, we actually have to go to him, for God's sake. It's like they're really happy with the microphone, like, I'm here, it's my moment. And Vincent Kompany's just getting ready to go out on the lash.
So not only did City win the league last night, West Brom stay up for now.
Are they staying up?
They're up for now.
Really?
I mean, we'll talk about that a bit later on.
How is it? It's the bottom of the league, I'm pretty sure.
We need more details on the West Brom staying up. I think that'll probably be coming in part two, Michael.
Yeah, that will come in part two. What? I'm so confused.
I'm also confused, but why is this thing up for now?
Yeah, I'm so confused. Why are they staying up?
Because they could have got relegated yesterday mathematically.
Okay. Sorry. Well, you should have cleared that up.
Okay, so I'll restart from here.
Oh, okay.
I have no. We had no idea what that meant.
So, all right, okay.
There's no reference to that in the thing, right?
Did I say that?
in saying that, it's only mathematically that they could have gone down last night, and of course, given that they won, they don't technically go down yet, but they're destined to go down, I'm sure. Is it the style City wanted to win the league in? Is it a little bit disappointing that they just won it because United lost?
Well, it means they could go out to the pub immediately when the result was in. They were probably at the pub, they were probably watching the game at a pub.
Well, actually, there's video evidence of Vincent Kompany in a pub. Phil, you've watched the video, haven't you?
I have, yes. It's he said something like, "Yeah, stand up if you supported City for 40 years or something," and I'm like, "He's not even 40 years old." It's so strange. I understand what he's doing, and you know, he wants
to build history through words.
He wants the actual Man City fans to be celebrating this rather than the other ones who.
Who's not going to celebrate your wife? What do you mean with it?
Whose morals are questionable, I'll say.
Yeah, who would stay sat down? Just like, oh, I've been here 3 years, never mind. Sorry, Vincent, mate, I'll see you in a bit.
So all the fans that have been City fans for a while are celebrating that way. Well, meanwhile, the more plastic, more recent City fans are celebrating with a certain song that made its way onto public social media.
Oh, man.
What was the company it was for? I thought it was for Etihad at first.
Etihad Salad.
Yeah, it's there.
I think it's a mobile company.
I was going to say, it sounds like a telly company. Like a if you've not watched the video, just search the word City and cringe on Twitter. I'm sure it'll come up. It's a beautiful rendition of a huge international football club making a song out of a nursery rhyme.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say an international hit.
Mr. Worldwide.
The summer play. Oh.
Have you got any quotes from the song, Phil?
Well, if you're... It's something like... I can't even remember how it goes, but it's something like, if you're proud of your boys, stomp your feet, or something like that. And there's just loads of old blokes, like, really happy, stomping their feet.
If you're happy that your champions, clap your hands.
The thing is, I wonder how long they've had this. Because there is, like, footage, obviously, in the video. There's, like, all the players. But one of the players is Aguero.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's injured now.
Yeah.
So they've had this in there for a while. They've had this in the bank, ready to go.
Piece. He's literally at the front of, like, the players, isn't he, at one part, like, walking them
might
around.
Might be a CGI body.
I wouldn't even be mad if they released this after the United game. Because that would have added to the absolute, like, salt to the United fans. But the fact they've released it after, like, basically just their fire going out this season, going out of the Champions League in such dramatic style and losing that game to United, to win it, like, not even when you're on the pitch. Like, I mean, there's something wrong with, like,
football.
There's something weird with football when you don't win the league whilst playing. I always find that weird.
We don't know how that company's actually sponsored them for, so might even seem like Sun Ji Hai and so in the video, but yeah, we didn't. So, he played for City, didn't
what
he?
An absolute legend, yeah. No, that's a great. I'm pouring back to me now who Sun Ji Hai is. One of the legends of Manchester City.
What, was he Chinese?
I think he's like most well known Chinese player, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's Chinese.
Lavezzi. He's Chinese, I think, now.
Is he Chinese now?
Yeah.
It's like Claudio. It's like Claudio Reyna, Sean Gota sort of time period.
Sean Gota. Yeah, Sean Gota. All right, moving on. Moving away from England. I think this one was actually happened last week. Bayern Munich won the Bundesliga.
Yes, we missed it.
Imagine the shock. When
they won the game, I think they went around doing the conga with a cardboard cutout of the trophy because they don't get the trophy until the last day of the season.
It's weird though because they have the trophy still because they won it last season. So I don't get who's got it right now. Just like now you've won it, we've got to take it off you so we can give you it back. And it's just, can you imagine the conversation? Well, no, I just may as well just keep it. No, sorry, I've got to take it off you.
so you can have it back.
I can just imagine like a strange interaction where one's just taking it and then just gives it immediately back. There you go.
Is there a way to engrave like by copy and pasting instead of like doing it again? Like
just drag it down. Drag it down.
Like an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, I may as well do next year's while you're here.
That would be amazing.
So we may as well talk about their game from this weekend. They went 1-0 down at home to Gladbach, but then scored 5 goals and it finished 5-1. They're unbeaten at home still all season. Is it relevant? Not really. They've walked the league. I think they're 20 points clear now.
Yeah, I think it was 20. Exactly 20 points.
Yeah, so how many are City clear?
16?
Yeah, so, yeah.
I think the only thing that's relevant with Bayern now is how they fare in that Champions League semi-final they've got.
We'll talk about that later on, Phil. No spoilers.
We will. I'm just leaving it in there. Just leaving it dangling, the little carrot.
Carrot
fast forward to
it.
This timestamp ticket.
Yeah, skip to like
the link in the description.
If you want to hear about this, but...
I saw Wagner scored twice. Got subbed off. No happy moment for Robert Lewandowski's.
Lever has not scored. Put him on the pitch.
What's going to happen with Bayern's striker situation when Lewandowski leaves Real Madrid at the end of the season, Michael?
He's not going to leave for Real Madrid at the end of the season.
That's why they signed Leon Goretzka to play up front.
Nice.
They'll get
Sergio Aguero to sign out. Completely missed that.
PSG was... one...
Okay, continue, Michael. No, go on.
You said Aguero to play.
Yeah, no,
out
it was.
Didn't you?
It happens. It both happens here, and it happens for Argentina at the international stage. So, can we move on, please? Why are we still on this?
Well, it's your fault. You bringing up these weird.
To kick into, yeah. I'll jot it down.
All right. So, Phil, what was the PSG score this weekend?
7-1 against Monaco at home.
It was. It was. There you go.
Didn't these guys play in the...
PSG won the league. It's PSG won the league.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like all the leagues with all these champions we're talking about is just really boring content because it's kind of obvious that they were going to win the league.
Mm. I don't know.
But PSG scored 7 goals, so that's
against
kind of insane.
Against the second in the league, which is great.
Against...
Deadly, no.
I can just imagine, like... I obviously Monaco are a big club and have a huge amount of money behind them, but I just can't picture any other team in that league turning up with actually a bus, just because it just seems like a proper like farmers league.
Wow, that's a dig.
Well, in the nicest way.
But they
possible.
Have like they have a like you said they have a lot of money behind them, but the way they like they use it is a much different model to one what it used to be and to what PSG are doing. Like they get young players and they sell them on. Like they don't do what you know. Which is how they started, but they didn't win the league that way. They won the league with all these, you know, young, great players. They've sold on for a huge profit.
And
Falcao.
Yeah,
that guy. And
then, but Falcao's still there.
Yeah, he scored an own goal.
And did he get the only goal? he got an own goal. I was just going to say, did he get the only goal? he scored in the wrong end. So, congratulations, PSG. You fully
deserve
it.
These teams played 2 weeks ago in the cup final, of course. That was 3-0 as well. So what is it, 7-1. I'm trying to maths here.
10-1 on
aggregate. Well, over the season, it was 12-2 on aggregate. And that's the top two in the division. Oh. Over all three games they played.
Right, well.
They played in the.
Who's third then?
I don't know what this is. And third is like Lyon, isn't
it? Lyon aren't far behind them, though, are they? So,
I mean, it's 4 points, but Memphis Depay is tearing it up, so.
Yeah, he's getting assists for days. He's got like 2 this weekend as well.
Scored more goals than John O'Shea for.
Oh, that's
Manchester
true.
United.
That's true.
Sorry.
So looking at the managerial situation at PSG, Unai Emery is obviously still rumoured to be leaving at the end of the season after PSG's poor showing in the Champions League. And it's now Thomas Tuchel who's favourite to take over there after he didn't get the Bayern Munich job.
I feel like a German in the French league. It's just going to be weird. Like, of course, Draxler's there already, but I feel like that language barrier, it's horrible. Like, I can't imagine a German actually, like, learning French.
Well, you think he knows good English, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, possibly. Like, they probably use English as their main language.
Well, what's Unai Emery? Isn't he South American?
He's Spanish, I think.
Well, he speaks Spanish.
Basque, basically. Yeah.
What, they speak Spanish in South America?
Well, they do. Well, not the whole of...
Okay. But Spanish, German to French is sort of, you know, it's fine. I mean, they're mostly Brazilian there anyway. So that's Portuguese. So that also doesn't work particularly
It doesn't make any sense. It's Tuchel still is German.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm contradicting myself. I'm contradicting myself. I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just,
It does sound like a recipe for a stink song, doesn't
it? Well, you know, the way Emery has controlled the dressing room.
I'm a German manager.
German manager at PSG. They've scored over 100 goals in this league now.
Yeah, I was going to look up the record for it, but then I couldn't be bothered because PSG probably hold the record from last year. Possibly. So
they still they haven't got Zlatan, so they can't beat any records.
I did see, while doing some research, I did see a French tweet where Cavani was level with Zlatan. I'm not sure if that's goals for PSG.
I think it's goals for PSG, possibly. No,
he's there. Yeah, he's there. I mean, that could be Ligue 1 or all-time, all competitions, so it could be like a Ligue 1 or, you know, one of those.
Because they're both on like 114, so if anyone that speaks French can go and Google it.
I think PSG fans consider Cavani a legend there, you know?
Yeah, I think they do, yeah. Well, yeah.
You do not like
Neymar. Didn't feature in the 7-1 win, otherwise it might have been 5-1. He was rumoured to be playing online poker at the time PSG were playing. I don't actually know what's behind this. I didn't know whether it was a joke or not.
What is your source for that?
Neutrality. I've seen this story. No, I know exactly. I've seen the story.
No. Apparently he was genuinely like streaming online poker when the PSG game was on.
Streaming it?
Yeah, streaming
it. He wasn't playing Fortnite with Ninja. It's not. That would have been amazing.
Hasn't he been on the Jimmy Kimmel show as well? I feel like Neymar's been anyway.
He's wherever his sister is, to be fair. But
I thought that was
Oscar. Both of them.
God, that's just a whole different light. That's just a whole... Oh, we don't want to open up that discussion again. So yeah, Neymar prefers to play. Well, to be fair, he's making enough money to play poker online, and they'd already won the league. Neymar.
Are they allowed to play poker? Yeah, that's not betting, is it?
It's betting, but it's not football.
Isn't he the party poker like head him sponsorship? Is it party
Ronaldo,
poker?
Not fat Ronaldo. He's getting thinner, I think.
What will we call him? What will we call him now?
It's old fat Ronaldo. It's now thin Ronaldo.
R9.
No, but he was also like a poker stars, whatever.
Yeah,
ambassador.
I think it's a Brazilian.
Now
thing.
He's a scout at Spurs, isn't he?
Is that he's trying to buy a championship player with his winnings? That's what he's doing. A championship not player, that would be weird.
What are the stakes they're playing at then? Like, what do you think he's playing, like online poker? Is he that good, like he's going like high stakes, or is he?
I don't know, he must be playing with like other PSG players because no one else is getting paid that much. It's just him
while they're playing.
Well, to be fair, they were playing in game.
So. Okay, what about the Chinese players? The Chinese league players? Like he's in a lobby with like Tevez, Eto'o,
Oscar,
like Guarin, Carrasco, like all these players that are on ridiculous, and they're putting in like 100k in the first round of betting, like the ante's like,
and he's still waiting for £20 million from Barca, isn't he?
Oh my word! Unless he goes back there,
he's not going back.
Though. Who knows?
So
before we move on to the next one, I just want to say, change a letter in PSG, and you've got another league winner this weekend. Do you want help or are you good?
PSV? PSV! PSV!
For Roma? Beat Ajax?
Yeah.
To win the league.
What a win!
But yeah, anyway.
I didn't include that.
That's fine. That's why we're here. That's why we're a team. We're a team of three.
Well, I'm not going to move on anyway because I've got another stat even. Dani Alves is now the most decorated player in football history.
Wow.
After he winning the Liga 1. He's got 6 La Liga titles, 6 Supercopa España titles, 5 CDR, don't know
what CDR. Cool down reduction.
4 UEFA Supercups, Copa del Rey, there we go, that's the one. 4 UEFA Supercups, 3 Champions League, 3 Club World Cups, 2 Confederations Cup, 2 UEFA Cups, 1 Serie A, 1 Supercopa, 1 Copa America, 1 Copa de Ligue, 1 Tour de TDC, which I'm guessing is like, I don't actually know, and 1 Liga 1 title. So that is now the most decorated player in football history.
Or player.
Nice. Still wouldn't have him over a Christmas tree, though.
Which, didn't we have him in the mixer?
Probably.
11?
He was a nominee, at least. I can't remember that far back, I'll be honest.
Other promoted teams, Wolves, they were promoted before they played their game at the weekend, so there's no need to talk about that one. Fulham drew 1-1 with Brentford, a last minute equaliser, I think, from Brentford?
Yeah, 94th minute, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. So that meant that Wolves are promoted. They're not quite champions yet. One more point's needed for them to go up. We'll say it. They beat Birmingham 2-0 at the weekend. 10 men Birmingham on television, embarrassed in front of the country. So that's the end of part one.
Yeah, ended on that high.
End it on a high. Catch you in a few moments where we'll talk about some of the teams at the other end of the table.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Indermixer Show for updates about our podcast. Share your opinions in our polls, get stuck in with the latest news, and interact with us during ongoing games. As Tim Cahill very nicely put it, no money in this world could convince me to unfollow In The Mixer Show. It goes against everything I stand for, no chance. At In The Mixer Show on Twitter.
Another week, another curveball then. Welcome back to part two of the In The Mixer podcast. As mentioned, we're going to talk about teams at the other end of the table, and the Premier League's thrown up another relegation curveball, kind of.
It has.
West Brom survive another week. We mentioned it earlier. Is this Alan Pardew's legacy coming into play now?
The new manager bounce. It's like he when he leaves, that's when the bounce begins. It's great. Darren Moore exactly. is the new manager bouncer.
Why is he a meme like on Twitter?
Because he looks like Robbie from Aston Man TV.
That's not why. He is apparently the special one for West Ham. With all West Ham, West Brom fan.
I mean, you have to be a special manager to get a win with that team at the moment.
Well, yeah.
Is an awful side.
Against Man United.
Just their fourth of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a... At least if they go down, they've got something to remember. What, a 1-0 win at Old Trafford, I guess.
The theatre of dreams.
Something to remember.
The theatre of nightmares.
So, yeah. So West Brom survive another week. But it does mean... Well, it doesn't mean anything, but Southampton 3-2 loss against Chelsea. Another week, another 3-2 loss. I think it was Arsenal, was it, last week?
Yeah,
lost 3-2.
Man, that's unlucky.
Bottled another
that's
lead.
That's a sad time to score two goals against the, well, two of the top six, barely, and not get any points in those games. That's unfortunate, but...
I genuinely, during this game, expected to go on Twitter and see Elias in absolute meltdown, but
well,
I just didn't.
I did meltdown.
I think you just come to the... Well, not as much as I thought. It feels like you just sort of come to the... I felt like you came to the sort of Conte's gone, Conte doesn't care kind of realisation.
Like, I don't even mind Conte, I just mind like, eight other players.
So, but I saw a lot of jubilation when obviously Chelsea came back from a 2-0, two goal deficit to beat Southampton 3-2, which does leave Southampton now 5 points adrift of Swansea, which is pretty. With how many games to go? We've got five. I think Southampton have five to go. So.
Yeah, they've got a game in hand on Palace and Huddersfield.
Yeah, but they don't get on Swansea.
Yeah, but I don't think Swansea are the team they want to catch. I think Swansea are in way too good a form. I think, well, they're not, but they're much better now. I think a team like Huddersfield, and we were talking earlier, like Brighton's running. If they can catch Brighton, who realistically could get no more points this season, considering they've got to play like Arsenal, Liverpool. Four top six sides they've got to play. So, yeah, they're probably the team to catch at this moment in time. I think Huddersfield, personally, as well, but I know not everyone agrees with that. But, no.
Do you think we could see a new record set? The lowest points total a team's ever stayed up with is 34. Do you think it could happen? Swansea are on 33 on the brink of
Brighton are 35, and if they don't get another point this season...
They've still
that would be. I'd be very surprised to see him.
Well, they're still not.
I'd be very surprised to see him stay up on 35 points. I think that would be unreal.
Yeah. So we'll go to the Brighton game next. They play Crystal Palace. Palace beating Brighton 3-2. This is a Zaha show. I've put in the notes because I feel like we say this every time Crystal Palace play, but it really is just a case of Zaha.
And apparently Ruben Loftus-Cheek had a massive game again. Just came back from injury as well. It started. He's really unlocking that Zaha movement, I feel. Just one of those like roaming midfielders that he might not do a lot on the ball, but he just unlocks spaces for other players. And that's kind of what England might need. Mm. Just like a midfielder that actually... doesn't really fit into a role. He's just a bit everywhere, but still in the right place, of course.
I think as well. Sorry, I got ahead of that.
I had to walk away because I just.
This is a massive spike.
It's like if you tried to carry on with that.
I thought I was just going to edit it out, but you two couldn't keep a straight face.
I could hear him like slightly quivering when talking though.
That was not me, that was Elliot. Anyway, can I go now? Yeah, I think the sad thing is like on a personal level for Loftus-Cheek is that injury came at a really bad time for him. You think just before this injury, he was like came in for England and played unbelievably well. And like there was a lot of talk about him being that player that like maybe could even like start for England, let alone just go to the World Cup. And I don't know if that's gone now, like that space on that on that plane, but it's not helped his cause anyway.
You should really do like a prediction of like which midfielders will actually go to the World Cup for England, because I feel like that is a pretty interesting discussion. Because you, of course you can like think of players like Wilshere, who has he really deserved to be on that plane. And who can take his place, if not?
That's it, yeah. Well, do you want to talk about that a bit now? Because you've sort of raised the question. Well, now I'm chomping at the bit to get involved.
Well, you can do it. Yeah, sure. I know you don't want Wilshere. Well, no, just say,
the thing is, you don't take Wilshere. Who do you take? Like, the obvious candidates to replace Wilshere were Harry Winks, who hasn't played since, like, that Real Madrid games. And, like, Loftus-Cheek, like we were saying, has that injury. So it depends who you... And Barkley's been, like... like the invisible man at Chelsea. Like, so like,
he was on the bench this weekend though, which is the first time since I don't know, like 4 weeks.
That's not enough to get you on England plane.
He's been playing for the under 23, so he's been playing.
It's a good move for him then, wasn't it, really? Yeah. But no, I think Wilshere will probably
Justice
go.
For Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah.
Justice for Danny Drinkwater.
Oh yeah, he wants to move on.
Anyway, yeah, so I was gonna actually make a point on the Loftus-Cheek thing. And Palace have like lost momentum as well. And I feel like that kind of affects an individual player's run into to a squad, because obviously when he was included, Palace were on a bit of a good run. Everyone was saying, "Oh, well, they're up now." But they've had so many injuries that
was very much him and Zaha, but, isn't it? Who are the creative forces in that side?
Yeah,
like Zaha. I mean, they didn't even play Benteke this weekend. Like that's how much like he's not scoring goals. But yeah, Loftus-Cheek is awesome. Townsend's rubbish. Zaha's great.
Punchin
is there. I would love Zaha to still be English.
Yeah,
well, he is still English, but he doesn't play for England.
Brexit means Brexit.
Brexit means Brexit.
Every time I see a game like this, I'm just like hoping that there's somebody who tunes in for the second half. Like, oh, this is 5 goals first half, and then just tunes in.
He just watches a drop in and saying,
That's just what goes through my head. I don't really analyze the football or anything. I just think, oh, hopefully somebody's had a crap afternoon.
Wishing someone has disappointed themselves.
Yes.
This is basically you saying, when I turned on the Champions League game, Roma Barcelona at 2-0, you were basically hoping for no more goals, is what you're saying?
Pretty much.
You're a terrible person. You hate football. Enemy of football, right?
I celebrated when Ronaldo scored the penalty.
Football. Well done.
You love modern football. Can we talk about Huddersfield now, please?
Huddersfield? Yep. Huddersfield? Are obviously in the mixer for the relegation candidate. To be relegated. A 1-0 win against Watford, a very vital win, I feel, at this point. Because I feel like if they didn't get 3 points here, they were really dragged into a relegation battle. And they were probably maybe prime candidate to go down if Southampton get out of there. Tom Ince, 91st minute winner.
Which filth. Phil,
how big is this win?
An offside goal.
Well, I didn't see. I haven't seen a replay. I just thought it came not like before it came to anyway.
We're also a bit torn about if Huddersfield are staying up or not. Phil hates the club. I think that they are actually going to stay up. So.
It's not even the club. It's just Steve Mooney.
It's not Steve Mooney. He said he was a manager.
I hate Steve Mooney.
Okay,
and their manager. I don't like their manager very much. He seems like an arrogant piece of stuff.
Swansea won.
Sorry. I just wanted to quickly say...
Well, you were about to kick... You were about to...
No, I wasn't. I was actually about to move on to Watford. I didn't even bring that up. I just want to say, like, if you can't beat Watford now, when they literally don't care about anything... Like, I mean, who else is... Who's got...
When did the Watford win a
Watford game? Watford won a game five fixtures ago against West Brom.
They didn't even
care about, like, taking their own kit to the stadium. They were playing in Middlesbrough's home kit this...
It was a very red.
Very red, black, and white kit. Like, it looked exactly like Middlesbrough's home kit last season.
Mm.
I've never seen that away kit, but it's probably been there for this season. I'd hope.
Mm.
Well, Watford ladies are bottom of their table. None of them care. No, they're just the whole club's just gone.
Sell them to Udinese.
But Palace have Watford next, so that could be another good 3 points for Palace. And I think if they win that game, that'll be them. Safe. Mm. For sure.
37 points. Yeah, that'll be, Swansea 1, Everton 1. As I mentioned, Swansea on the brink of the relegation zone now, but do have a game in hand on those teams above them, excluding Brighton. A good point against Everton at this stage?
I want to discuss that because I don't think it's a good point for Swansea. I think they should be beating Everton with Everton's like form and just Everton this season. I feel like Swansea are a better team than Everton. They might not have like the players that Everton have, but they've just got like I feel like they're starting to get their like play. The match plan like together now. They know what to do, but I saw a few highlights from that game, and it just looked like they could have got a few more goals if they just had the players.
Sam Allardyce basically admitted that as well, because he basically in the post-match interview he said, "Well, the last four home games they've beaten West Ham, Burnley, Liverpool, and Arsenal," and he's like, "To come here and get a point, we've actually done really well." It's like you're comparing yourself to a team that's in the bottom four when you've spent this much money. Like you're talking yourself out of a job, Allardyce. I don't know why he doesn't understand that Everton want more than drawing with a team in a relegation battle. They want to be pushing for those, not even top six, they want to be pushing those top four places. Not only their owners, but their fans. They want to do it with good football, and they don't want him there anymore. And I can't see him lasting, or seeing him at the start of next season, and if he is there, I think there's going to be mega protests like at the start of next season, if that's the case. But yeah, I think probably Marco Silva next season for Everton. Still on that bandwagon.
Yeah, with the players he's got, he doesn't promote the right type of football that those players...
No.
Like, have a quality that they have, does he? So, but are Swansea going to go down?
No.
They haven't won a game in five now.
They're too good. Like, I can't see them not win. Like, you say they haven't won a game in five, but I can't see them not winning a game again this season. No way.
They got City next match.
They'll win that.
And then I'm not actually sure what their remaining fixtures are, to be honest. But
well, I think they've got, like, they've got the AU brothers.
Swansea, Chelsea, Bournemouth, Southampton, Stoke are two very vital games at the end of the season. Southampton against
Stoke. Yeah, they got the AU brothers, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, Gary-Ian.
Gary-Ian, Alan, Andre and Tony, yeah.
So you're still sticking by it then, Southampton, and or is the bottom three staying as it is?
Yes. No.
Yes, I say yes, Phil doesn't.
No, I say
West Brom,
Stoke, Huddersfield.
God, you really
and I still think that Brighton are going down, so there's four teams going down this season. Have you seen Brighton's running? Like, just bring it up.
Brighton's running. Yeah, it is crazy.
Like, they're not going to get any more points this season. Like, it's and like if the other clubs can take at least like 3 points, they're above them. So Brighton got Tottenham at home. They got Burnley at away. They got United at home, City away, and Liverpool away. That's Brighton's run-in.
That genuinely is a zero point scenario.
But Brighton needing a win at home to Manchester United. Come on, that's got 3 points Brighton written on the line. That's got Glenn Murray, 89th minute winner.
Does... Brighton to beat Manchester United so they miss out on top four.
Is that even possible? Can United miss out on top
is
four?
That even... Yes.
Okay. You heard it here first, listeners.
Yeah.
I could also see Brighton beating
Manchester United to get relegated.
I feel like Elias makes these bold predictions and then they actually come off. There was something that happened this week that Elias predicted.
Oh, Buffon to get sent off by punching Michael Oliver.
Yeah! during the game. We'll come to that later on, to be honest, because it's too good not to include. We'll round off for relegations. Burnley. Bury relegated to League 2, bottom of League 1, and looks like they've been relegated for a while.
So bad.
From what I've heard. And they've finally, it's mathematically possible that they can't get out of the relegation zone. Can I get an R?
We give an R.
Brilliant.
Are you ready?
For part 3, which is coming up just after this. Hey, guess what? The In The Mixer show now has a new YouTube channel where you can subscribe to listen to our podcast weekly, as well as access exclusive content such as outtakes, previews, and us getting lost in Moscow. Bye! Welcome back to part 3, listeners, of the In The Mixer podcast. We're going to round off the Premier League action. We're going to talk about Newcastle beating Arsenal. Is this a real shock or not really?
Well, it's a nice result.
It's a nice result. No, I feel like it's not that much of a shock at this point.
Phil won a bet on that.
Another relevant result to the table. Burnley beating Leicester by 2-1 as well, which means Burnley are now only 2 points behind Arsenal. Can Burnley get in Europe?
Yes.
I think it's still kind of 7th, aren't they? Is that not a thing? But I think they can leapfrog Arsenal.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, their run suggests that they can definitely do it, and Arsenal are on such a... I say bad run, but they just seem to lose. Like, I don't know. Arsenal are rubbish.
No, I know what you mean. They won against Southampton last weekend, but like you've seen how Southampton collapsed against Chelsea. Like Southampton aren't a good side. Like they beat them because Southampton were bad, not because they were good. They got past Moscow in the like all their focus is on the Europa League. Like you saw that with their team selection against Newcastle. And although they went one goal up, like Newcastle are a better side than them. In my at this moment in time, Newcastle are a better side than Arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. And there's no more satisfying sight than seeing Rafa Benitez put those glasses back into his pocket after a good thrashing of Arsenal. Honestly, it's just like
job well done.
I'm back in there for another week. He loves it. He loves it so much, and he knows it as well. I bet he watches that GIF himself doing the Sky
Maybe
Sports.
The next season,
like, do you know where he like swipes the Sky Sports thing across the screen? I bet he has that like GIF on like an.
Oh yeah.
He is a chalkboard man. If ever I've seen one. He is not moving away from the chalkboard. Whiteboard pushing it.
Rafa, all your walls are black. Just like, yes, they're all chalkboards.
Do you think he'll be there next season? Do you think he'll be interested? It's got to be interesting.
If they can keep him, it's ridiculous. But I also think he'll want to stay as well.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think he'd end a good offer to leave.
I feel he's a loyal manager. Like, he's always like seemed like a loyal manager to me. Like, he's never left a job, I'm pretty sure. He's always been sacked. Sometimes rightfully, sometimes unrightfully. But
is it job done, though, for Newcastle? You say he's never left a job, but is it job done with Newcastle? He's got them to mid-table.
The thing is, he obviously wants investment. I think the talks are now going to restart. Now that I think they're mathematically safe now. But I think the talks are going to restart with them selling the club. I think it depends how that goes. I can see him leaving. I think there's actually Sociedad are interested in him. But yeah, go on, Ellis. What do you think?
I feel like this is probably like, if you feel like Newcastle are up right now, I feel like this is the point when the club is actually for sale. But Mike Ashley might want more money for it. Which is like, of course, if you're an owner, you want a club in the Premier League because that's where the money is. And of course, Mike Ashley is going to pump that price up since if they're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they went down, I'm not sure if Benitez would have got the investments he needed. He's definitely not going to get the investment from Mike Ashley, and that's probably how I see him leaving. If Mike Ashley is still there, if he doesn't get the signings he wants in like June or July, like start of July, then I can see him leaving. But if they sell the club, if you see some transfer activity immediately, I think he's going to be happy with that and he's going to stay. But I can seriously see him coming back to Chelsea, and it's weird.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But the potential is there. Like, Newcastle, the term sleeping giant is a horrible term and I hate it so much, but if there's a sleeping giant in the Premier League, it's Newcastle. They could literally be the club that Everton wanted to be this season. A bit of investment. Like, you've seen what Rafa Benitez can do on their shoestring budget. Imagine if he just had like 50 million, 100 million invested into that squad. They'd be top six easy.
50 million, Fernando Torres is out of contract.
Yeah.
Get him into Newcastle.
I was literally about to say that. That's such a perfect sign. Get Luis Garcia back and all. And Vladimir Smica.
Vladimir Vice.
Which one, his dad? Or?
No.
Okay. No, I was like, well, sorry, we'll move away from the Premier League. I think we've bled that stone dry. What's I don't even know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Bled the stone dry or something like that. I've never been so excited to find Newcastle though.
Yeah, Newcastle are interesting. Like, I agree. Like, can you get a Papi Cisse / Dembaba again? They need to sell a Josip Perez though.
They had Mitrovic.
They still have Mitrovic.
I can't see him working with Benitez though. Because that's the problem, isn't it?
He's only 23, I think, Mitrovic.
He's not finished.
He's not finished, and he's certainly not matured yet.
Yeah, but I feel like Benitez is like, once that bridge is burnt, it's burnt. Like, you saw at Real Madrid how many relationships he destroyed.
It's because his glasses were dirty.
But I can't see him going back on that. I mean, I don't really know what he's like with Slimani, because he hasn't really been given a chance. No. But I think that depends on that relationship a lot as well, but we'll see. Schenk Tossen in the summer.
We've got something else that's going to get you excited, Phil.
What, Newcastle?
Yeah.
Real Madrid versus Juventus, the second leg. Real Madrid 1, Juventus 3, and that couldn't tell like even a percentage of the story. So Juventus obviously going 3 goals up.
Can we have the aggregate score, sorry?
No.
4-3.
Yeah, 4-3. So obviously it was 3-0 on aggregate, 3-0 on the night to Juventus, which meant that after both teams had three away goals, it was all to play for and would go to extra time and penalties if it remained as it was. But what minute was it?
91st.
Yeah. So the penalty was given in the 91st. The goal went in at the 97th. But it was
Mehdi Benatia came through Vasquez. The back of, I don't know who it was.
It was
came
Vasquez,
through the back
Vasquez.
Of Vasquez, and a penalty was given. Was it a penalty? Okay.
Yes.
At the time I said no, but I feel like I was
I'm
just
not sure
really
if your
annoyed,
changed.
And I actually think it was definitely a penalty. And I think he was lucky not to get sent
the best
off.
Referee.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Last man.
So.
Oh yeah. But it's a penalty. Isn't that new in the rule book?
That's
that
the Premier League rule
it's
book.
It's a Premier League. Okay.
Yeah. So he should have gone. But like, yeah, I understand Michael completely because I mean, you know, a rational person would, you know, perhaps let the emotion overtake them there and maybe think, oh, it might not be a penalty, you know. And people who hate Real Madrid, like yeah. Barcelona fans, and yeah, I mean, most people like you. That emotion is gone. You can now see it's a penalty. But for someone like Buffon, that perhaps is still clouding his judgment.
Buffon, I'm sure you've all seen it. Buffon was sent off for dissent. There's things being thrown. What was the exact thing he said to Michael Oliver? I'm sure.
Bastardo.
Right, I wasn't expecting a direct.
Which you don't need translation. Yeah, so
Buffon was sent off for that. Is it out of character for Buffon?
It wasn't only for the words, he was pushing him around. And that's where I hope there was like a bet for that I did. But of course, I only said it.
If we were recording,
so I've only got two witnesses.
Sure we'd get you on TV straight away to promote the podcast. Yeah. Ronaldo stepped up.
You said, is it out of character for Buffon? I think a keeper who plays for the team that have won the league in the last six seasons. Who's last year? I think he probably doesn't like it not going his way particularly, but I don't like. I know Buffon's a legend, but I don't think he'll like. This is for me on Zidane headbutt levels of stupidity.
If you can't beat it, match fix it, right, Buffon?
I feel like he just lost his head. Like he could have still saved that penalty. It's still a game.
Yeah,
like it's.
I think there was so much emotion in it for him though, because that was potentially the moment that would end his Champions League career. And it wasn't even it was him getting sent off, but that penalty goes in. Juve are out. There was really no coming back from that penalty, particularly.
That's why I just think it's so stupid because he could have
been
a hero.
Left us as it. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't on him. It really wasn't on him if Juve were to go out. But I guess he wore his heart on his sleeve and was...
I know like you say
but
that.
But he's also been a professional
like,
for 20 years.
But it's no excuse. He's a professional. And he's saying like... He's saying things like, oh, you can't give that penalty in that situation. It's like, well, you can because it's a penalty.
It's situation... up to the point now where Michael Oliver and his wife have had to have... police intervention from the abuse he's had. We won't go too much into it, really, but it's kind of sad that it's got to that point because at the end of the day, he did make the correct decision. And just because it upset football Twitter, it's a shame that it has come to that. So,
and it's not like he's shutting up about it, though.
That's
it's
true. He's
daily
milking
interviews
the cow
about this thing.
He's saying he was too young today, didn't he? Or yesterday, he said Michael Oliver was too young to be refereeing that match,
and he hasn't got like he can't let like the spotlight take him over the highlight.
Oh,
like,
man,
it's a bit delusional right now. I feel,
and they shouldn't even have been in that game. Like they should have been out in the previous round, in my opinion. But they were 3. Like if you're gonna blame someone, blame yourself. You're 3-0 down from
blame
the first leg.
Spurs is the reason Buffon got sent off.
Oh man, imagine him going mad at Eric Dier. That's a tough one. Honestly. But the other annoying thing, and I'm gonna make this quickly. The most annoying thing about this Buffon altercation is
it really overshadowed
Roma.
It did, and
that amazing game.
I said in the game last week that they fucked it up in the first leg, and they really could have won this tie. They went and did it anyway. So, fair play. I only saw like the last few minutes, and it obviously meant so much to the players. And I think that's bigger than if Juve would have beat Real, and I think it's bigger than Liverpool beating City.
A couple of things with Roma. Haven't conceded a goal at home this season in the Champions League, and they are the only team left in the competition who finished top of their group.
Yeah.
Are they even underdogs? That's the question.
Did Bayern Your second?
PSG.
Oh, right, yeah.
And of course, Real Madrid to Tottenham.
So Real Madrid are the reason that Buffon got sent off.
Yes, in many ways.
It's deeper.
In many ways. They planted the seeds months ago. Unbelievable.
The other games, Bayern, pretty boring 0-0 against Sevilla, but it saw them through to the next round. I think that one's 2-1 on aggregate finish. And
yeah, which is pretty weird, I feel like, a 0-0 after 2-1. If Sevilla scored a goal in 96th minute, that's Bayern out.
Well, they got away goals because Bayern scored two at Sevilla.
Oh, yeah, it's the other way around. Okay, yeah. I read it wrong.
But the first leg, Sevilla, is similar to Roma. They probably shouldn't have lost that game. They went 1-0 up if they had a bit more composure and a bit more... I mean, they have that European experience. And we'll talk about Ben Yedder's red card later on in La Liga, because that was fantastic. Big fan of that one.
So, I think me and Phil are having a discussion about this midweek, though. And I've got an interesting point to make. I think it is, anyway. I think if this was Bayern against Real or something, I feel like Bayern don't play well against teams that are not... this wasn't a hyped up tie. This wasn't a huge tie. So, and Bayern don't play up to it this season. They only really kick on in the big games,
great for the Champions League then. Yeah, are they going to win it?
It's great for the draw. I guess we'll have a look when we talk about the draw, but the final one, City 1, Liverpool 2. It was pretty much a done deal from the first leg. It finished 5-1 on aggregate. Is that right? 5-1? So the draw is... I actually think this draw is better than the last round. Bayern against Real. I think Bayern can beat that. That is a really juicy tie.
The videos going around of Real Madrid robbing Bayern because of this Juve game. The last time they faced each other. Biggest robbery of all, whatever the hell Barcelona fans were calling it.
What Barcelona fans call it. Yeah. I think the biggest robbery of the whole, it was Barcelona versus Chelsea in the quarterfinals.
But anyway, yeah, so that's going to be interesting. Some definite redemption on the cards for Bayern there. And Real Madrid aren't great. They're not a great side, but they win. This is their competition. Yeah,
this is what we were saying about Bayern and Real. I feel like we're both in a similar position. I know Bayern have completely run away with the league, but... it's only in the big games that they perform, and Real are doing the same thing. And that's why I think it's going to be a
clash.
It's going to be a lot of goals. I also think the winner of this will be the favourites to win the Champions League, and also the winner of this won't win the Champions League because Liverpool are definitely winning it.
Oh, I can't believe
don't say that. No. I've already said, if Liverpool win the Champions League, I'm not coming on the podcast because I just will not be allowed.
Let's just...
You guys have fueled the fire for this. This is your fault. This is karma coming back to bite you guys.
I will happily take it as common, but still, I'm not coming on the podcast if they win it, Phil.
Should we postpone the podcast until everybody forgets about Liverpool winning the Champions League?
There's no chance anyone's going to have the opportunity to forget about it.
So we're postponing at least 13 years since they haven't forgotten about winning in 2005.
Can I just say how awesome it would be if Roma won the Champions League? How epic that would be.
It'd be really good for Italian football as well, because it's obviously been a league that's fallen in estimations, would you say, in the past few years?
Well, I think it's on the way back up with the praise Napoli have been getting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's been Juve for years, and now Napoli have bottled winning the title, and Roma are still doing well. But it's return for Salah. They've already started licking each other's asses on Twitter, which you just.
I'm trying to figure out if that is a bigger upset than Chelsea winning the Champions League.
Well, Roma.
Yeah.
I think at the start, I don't think now. I don't know
after that, but Barcelona is all.
I couldn't picture. Yeah, at that point, I couldn't picture. I don't think Roma against Bayern this season is more of an upset than Chelsea Bayern that season.
Yeah.
Because that was. You had Roberto Di Matteo as manager.
Oh, yeah. That used to add to it.
You had Ryan Bertrand at left wing.
Where did he go after Roberto Di Matteo, Michael? Can you.
I don't know, actually.
Oh. West Brom. They could do it now,
I think.
Di Matteo.
Oh, I thought you meant after Schalke.
I meant he went to Schalke and did a great job.
I never knew that happened.
Huh? What? Yeah, exactly. That's what I mentioned.
I was really confused. I thought you were going to say after he finished.
I meant after Chelsea.
Oh yeah, he went to Schalke.
Can I just say as well, if Roma beat Liverpool, Totti out of retirement for the final.
What, Zlatan go to the World Cup?
He'll be there in the celebration somehow.
Buffon will be on the.
Man, I can picture that in my head as well. I can picture it in my head.
I'm like, Buffon pulling on a Roma shirt? He's never had a career.
Unreal. Oh my word.
We're going to end part three there and come back in part four where we'll talk about some more European football, but just the leagues this time.
Thank you so much for listening to the In The Mixer podcast. Whether on iTunes or any other podcast app, we'd appreciate feedback and reviews. We're also on YouTube, but it goes up much quicker on all podcast services. Thank you so much for listening again, and we'll catch you in the mixer.
2-0 against Dortmund, their first win against Dortmund for 3.5 years, and what fashion they did it in. Did anyone watch the game?
No. It would have been 2-1 if Batshuayi hadn't gone off injured.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't have been. Schalke genuinely played Dortmund completely off the park, and it's the first time it's happened in a long time, and I'm happy to admit that. Naldo's goal was incredible. A free kick from 35 yards out. Incredible goal, and brilliant scenes for Schalke, who look like they're going to get second place now and almost certainly going to get a Champions League spot, which leaves me delighted. Yeah. To the old
the biggest talking point about this game is, of course, the Michy Batshuayi injury, I feel.
That's the thing that's rocked Europe.
Yeah. Is he going to be back before the World Cup?
Well, Phil said he's not going to play anyway, so it's irrelevant, didn't you, Phil?
Yeah, they got Benteke. It's fine. Imagine Batshuayi jumping above Gary Cahill in the second game of the Euros, England versus Belgium, to score the winning goal.
Legs. He's broken them. Or the ankle. That's the problem.
Well, he doesn't even have to jump against Gary Cahill, so it's fine. He can just stand there and head the ball in.
He's like 3 feet taller than him. Cahill.
Well, Cahill's also bad as well.
To the Old Firm derby. Celtic 4, Rangers 0. It is now 13 games since Rangers beat Celtic.
Yeah.
And they still hype the game up.
It could have been... The Rangers got a red card.
Yeah. At 2-0.
To Joey Barton for betting.
Jesus. No, but like Rangers, like, I mean, the Celtic are on for a second treble, I think, in a row.
So, and apparently they've been poor this season, so I don't really
They've been bad this season. That's what's funny.
So Celtic against Motherwell in the final. Celtic might win that, not sure. we'll not talk about the Scottish League for too long, no offence, but...
No, let's talk about it. Because, what does that league need to do? Because, obviously, they had Celtic and Rangers. But they had Celtic and Rangers for so long, it was at least, like, watchable.
Well, Aberdeen are up there, aren't they?
But this is the thing. Aberdeen were the selected team to sort of replace Rangers in that, you know, tit-for-tat sort of fight. And Rangers have managed to get relegated, like drop down 3 tiers, get back promoted to the Premiership, and then overtake Aberdeen, pretty much. Like... Yeah. It's just gonna harm Celtic in the long run in the terms of Champions League competitiveness.
Yeah, but Celtic can only beat what's put in front of them in the Scottish League, and it is a shame that they won't really get much out in terms of that.
And that's not going to improve your side.
Exactly. So to Serie A, Napoli Nata, they drew 0-0 against AC Milan. I wouldn't say it's a particularly shock result.
Milik. Milik, that Donnarumma save, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
How does he not score? It's not even a bad finish, in all fairness.
No, it's not. I think Milik does everything right. If you haven't seen the Donnarumma save, I'm pretty sure it's on BT Sports Twitter. If you just put in Twitter Donnarumma save, you have to go and see it. It's an incredible save. I feel like he dives before Milik hits the ball. I feel like he predicts
It's like it's crazy because most keepers just go down. Just spread themselves. He doesn't. He literally dives at point-blank range.
Yeah, yeah.
And Milik's slotting it into the bottom corner.
And it's an incredible save. And if there were any doubts about Donnarumma's ability, I'm sure that definitely silences it. And it was like the deathly silence after he saved it and the match finished. It was so odd. Because obviously the stadium just went quiet. And do you think that's Napoli's title hopes over?
This was the game. Yeah. Juve win. I mean, it's not over. But I think it's massively unlikely now.
Yeah, Juventus winning 3-0 this weekend against Sampdoria, doing what they needed to do. The gap now at 6 points. But they do still have to play each other, don't they?
Yeah, but Juve have no distractions.
It's 2 games, and Juventus also had the better goal difference. So it's two games that Juventus have got to lose, Napoli have got to win, or potentially 3 that Juventus have got to lose. It's a long way behind at this point. But there's still 6 games to go, so...
I mean, Juve, obviously, with the Champions League game, capable of losing their heads. But they've been in this position 6 times in the last 6 years, and they've held on each time, so I can't see it changing.
So moving over to Spain and La Liga. All the top three winning this week. Fourth place didn't win because it was Valencia and they got beat 2-1 by Barcelona.
Yeah, can I just say, Michael? Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the highlights of that game. I think you'd have something to say about Ter Stegen's penalty save. Well,
let's say
he made contact with the ball.
Expand.
Well, no, it's basically, so there was a great penalty in the Sevilla game, which we'll come to later, which was caught. But the penalty in this game, I can't remember who even scores it. Is it Danny Rodrigo Pereira? Takes it?
Probably, yeah.
Not Pereira, yeah. Anyway, so basically, Ter Stegen goes down, sort of, it just does the classic thing where he goes down to his right and he sort of goes to sort of cuddle the ball like a baby and it just goes through the armpit hole.
Oh.
But then he does some sort of weird cartwheel afterwards and his legs end up in the air. It's really strange. It's a really odd sort of image, but yeah.
German goalkeeping strategy.
Was he unfortunate not to save it? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, he did save it, but then he decided, you know what, I'm just going to let it go in anyway. Like,
I'd cartwheel it into the goal.
It's so strange. I've not seen it. But I'm gonna have to go.
I'm gonna have to
go and watch that now. Another game that was particularly interesting. I actually had a bet on this. I think it was the early kickoff on Saturday. Sevilla against Villarreal finished 2-2. We had two red cards and a missed penalty. Phil,
great penalty. That's all. Let's say about that game.
Yeah, I agree, Phil. Also, the penalty, like the Nolito penalty, is great. Also, immediately scored 1 minute after he missed that penalty, Nolito, to be fair.
When I looked at the live scores, I thought he scored like the rebound or something.
Yeah.
Of course he did a Sterling.
Yeah, it was exactly the same goal. And then the Ben Yedder red card.
That's literally why I came to you, for the Ben Yedder red card. So
just 2 seconds, right? So I'm going to say now as to when he gets his first yellow card, and then I'm going to say now to when he gets sent off. Ready?
Okay.
Now.
Oh, right.
That's literally like he gets booked for. So, I don't know what he's saying.
He's counting.
So he's saying basically like, I need 3 fouls before you book me. But then he gets booked for dissent or something like that. Anyway, and then he claps. He claps the referee. He's just been booked. He claps the referee.
He starts counting again and then starts clapping. That's what is so stupid, because he's already been like.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the most stupid red card this season, I'm pretty sure.
Did he tweet?
I think Sevilla are the most tragic team. Sorry, go on, Michael.
Did he tweet about it though?
Oh.
I'm not sure. Did he?
I don't know. He's usually very prevalent on Twitter, isn't he? So.
Who, Ben Yedder?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of this. We'll have to follow him on the Mixer account.
Oh, he tweeted with Pogba after the United game, didn't he?
Yeah.
No hard feelings or something.
And then Zonzi's winner is also a screamer.
I don't think
he'll be at Sevilla next
screamers,
season.
Right? Pretty sure he only scores.
I've got
screamers.
A translation. I want to... Well, this is a bad translation.
This is a Twitter translation.
He wants to apologise to his companions for my expulsion. He should not have reacted to the injustice and fight with the team. So he's talking in third person, apparently. And congratulations to them for the final results. It's not over. Come on, my Sevilla.
Should not have reacted to the injustice. So he's basically mugging off the referee anyway.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Don't back down.
I told you, definitely tweeted about it. Finally from La Liga, Deportivo La Coruña are making the great escape, aren't they, Phil?
Oh, 2 wins on a bounce.
Six
Clarence
games Seydorf
to go. Working wonders.
They are now 5 points adrift, and then the goal difference is also an issue of Levante. They could do it.
Yeah, there are some bad teams in that division. Really bad teams in La Liga.
Thing is, though, there are some really bad teams, which means that the bottom teams often win games.
Mm.
Levante won 3 of their last 5 games, so...
Mm. Who are the other teams down there fighting?
Espanyol, but they are 10 points above La Coruña, so...
They just need
another win, and they're mathematically safe, I think.
Kike Sanchez Flores in charge, though, so it could happen.
Right.
Terrible manager.
Well, he's classy. We made this point yesterday, didn't we? With the AIK manager, which we didn't talk about in Derby section, I just realised. Why would you? Yeah, AIK won against Djurgårdens.
Djurgårdens?
Yeah, Djurgården, as you say it in Swedish, has 2-0, so we were top of the league for a day. Yeah, but yeah, back to the point. We were talking about this yesterday. Is managerial like charisma linked with a managerial success?
I'm assuming yes.
As a Birmingham City manager, I don't think I've ever had a manager that's been charismatic and
Harry
been
Redknapp.
Successful.
So, oh, yeah, that part. Yeah, no.
that little.
Even our success came under Alex McLeish, who's probably the most boring man on earth. If there's ever a man that deserved the name Keith Moore, it's Alex McLeish. Not Keith Shout Moore, as in McLeish. Keith Moore. So, no.
Alex.
Yes.
Keith
yes.
McLeish.
Guardiola won the Premier League this season.
He's not even charismatic, he's just mental.
He's charismatic. I feel like he's charismatic.
I guess you can be badly charismatic, like Alan Pardew.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from West Brom, he's done like, he comes in, like he doesn't particularly have any managerial or tactical skill, but he just comes in and he's got that motivational, like I guess charisma is like basically the word for it, to G up the players and, you know. You didn't see that at West Brom, maybe it's... Maybe times have changed. Maybe charisma's not as much of a factor anymore.
No.
Maybe charisma...
Less
is
girls
changing.
In football.
Surely there's more girls in football now.
Well,
that's the discuss. Maybe next week.
I've got a little discussion for you as well. This week on VAR Watch. This is breaking news, by the way. Mine scored a penalty in the 45th plus 7th minute, so the 52nd minute of the first half. And that was awarded after the referee blew for half-time. This is going on right now. The referee blew for half-time. The players went into the dressing room. The referee then watched a replay on VAR while the players were in the dressing room, decided a penalty should have been awarded. The teams came back out to take the penalty, but the penalty was taken and they went back in. And that is no word of a lie. That's genuinely just happened. Mines against Freiburg.
How is that even possible? If he's blown for the halftime whistle, of course the game is over.
Retrospective.
Well, like, half-time, yeah. Can he be that retrospective? Like, do you to, like...
I'm not sure.
I feel like you need to call that before you blow the halftime whistle.
But it's classic schoolboy football. Like,
what? Bundesliga?
No. Yeah, I mean, that's the... Yeah, basically the league. But no, it's just a classic like schoolboy football where you like go in after 35 minutes and then someone tells the ref, no, they're meant to be 40 minute halves. It's like, oh, okay, come back out for 5 minutes and then go back in for half time.
I had to bring that up in this episode because I couldn't wait a week to talk about it, the podcast.
Important game, so I've heard.
Yeah, a very important relegation clash or relegation playoff clash. If Freiburg win it, they almost certainly will stay up and Mainz will go to the playoff.
So you will know, listener.
If Mainz win it, though, Freiburg drop into the relegation spot. And obviously, Mainz winning 1-0 at the moment could mean that both teams will be on 30 points and Mainz will be 15th, clear of that spot on goal difference. So moving away from all the current live football and things like that, we're going to talk about an award.
Ooh.
Awards. Yeah, it's not an Elixir award or anything like that. It's the Player of the Year award, and most particularly the Young Player of the Year award. Ryan Sessegnon, who's soon to be a Spurs player, I'm sure Phil will tell us all in a moment.
Someone else is interested. Sorry.
Has been nominated for. Is it? What's the exact. Who's the body that was
PFA
awarded?
Young Player of the
Year. PFA, yeah. Okay. PFA Young Player of the Year award. And he's the first player outside of the Premier League ever to be nominated.
Does he deserve it, Michael?
Yes.
He has been unreal.
He has been ridiculous.
Has he been the best young player in England?
He hasn't won it yet.
No, but... Oh, he deserves the... Oh, exactly, yeah. That's probably why I asked, but I still counteracted my point.
If he did win it, would he deserve it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who wins it. Harry Kane's claiming it, but I'm Tish.
Ah!
Oh, the youngest player in the Premier League.
I've complained about that joke. All week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, now we can't Edison make jokes probably. About it in the podcast because now
Edison.
We
are... Why is Edison not like in this discussion? Since he's also born in '93.
Oh yeah,
he is nominated for young players.
Yeah,
or is he nominated?
He's nominated for young.
I think the rule is if you're 20, is it 23
at the start of the season?
Start of the season, which they consider to be July.
23. Yeah, yeah. It must be 24. Sure.
No, it's 23.
No, but
you
have to
be
23. I assume
because that's how under 20. That's how the youth system works. If you're under 20,
yeah, because that's when the season starts on Football Manager. That's what I'm going by here.
Okay.
And Harry Kane's birthday is 27th of July, I think, or late July. So now he's 24. So that's the problem. But the greatest thing about the PFA awards is they were voted for in February. So of course Kevin De Bruyne's going to win Player of the Year, and Liverpool fans are going to be fuming, rightly so, because it's ridiculous voting for Player of the Year like 3 months before the season's out.
Yeah.
I mean, Salah's my Player of the Season. By a country mile. Like, De Bruyne's was great, but this last 2 months he's been off the boil. As a lot of the Man City players, I don't even think he's probably been the most consistent player at City this season. I think Silva's and Edison have been probably more key, but yeah, for me, Salah, Player of the Season, not going to win it just because of the way the competition's structured, but yeah, there you go. That's football, as they say.
Brilliant. So let's wrap things up. There's obviously no game this week. Phil and Elias are sat together, so there was some
You tried to punish me right now.
Basically, we couldn't agree on whether to do the journeyman game or not. So we're going to roll that over till I think.
We couldn't agree because you said no.
Breaking news: goal for West Ham.
Yes, yes, that is my bets coming in.
Sorry, that came through really loud in my ear, so I couldn't not say it.
Okay, well, that's good because my bets are now going my way. I put three singles on this game while he's gone.
Oh, hold on. That's the point. I was about to say, if it was VAR, we'd have to wait 3 minutes to see if it stood. But of course, the Premier League teams voted against VAR next season, didn't they?
They did. Which is official.
Guardiola's not happy about it.
So the, yeah.
Wenger's not happy about it.
So there's no. Oh, what?
Oh wait, hang on. I think it's been disallowed.
Yeah, I think so as well. It's not come up.
Oh, dear. Okay, this is why we don't do breaking news on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, take it back. Edit it out, Phil. Heroes and villains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The VAR thing. I just wanted to quickly say about... Actually, no. You know what? My hero of the week is the Premier League teams that voted to keep VAR out of the Premier League.
I want to do like a discussion of that some week as well. Like, which teams do you think were the teams that voted for VAR?
Well, Guardiola and Arsenal definitely didn't, because Wenger said it's holding them back.
Yeah.
Guardiola said Man United and Chelsea vote were one of the reasons... So they voted against it. Like, I don't get... Like, I mean, if VAR's in place, Man City don't get their second goal because it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's the stupid rationale, but for someone who claims to be a football purist, I don't know why you want VAR in football.
Oh,
like,
it was on now. Fuck's
sake. Okay, cool.
No, I started my bet. My bet, Phil.
Come on. Can you keep on track? This is why we don't... This is why I hate you this. This is the stupidest part of this podcast. It's the stupidest part of
the
podcast.
We are 21 minutes in.
Yeah, and now we're even... Come on, heroes and villains. My heroes are all the teams. My villains are all the ones that voted for it. I'm out. Premier League's rubbish.
Best league in the world. My hero is Olivier Giroud, for reasons.
Good, and your villain, we'll go straight to it, because Phil's given both.
Bakayoko, because...
Marcus Alonso.
Yeah, Marcus Alonso, he should have been sent off and he's now facing retrospective action, so he's probably not going to play this season anymore.
I'm gonna give my hero to Wilfred Zaha, and that's just that. And I'm going to give my villain to every single person in the city of Southampton.
Wow.
Including the players, obviously.
I've done this.
Elias has called out a whole city before.
I've already called out Southampton one episode, I'm pretty sure.
The entire population?
The entire city.
What about Charlie?
Well, he
apart from
live...
Charlie.
Yeah, okay, apart from Charlie.
Everyone's listening thinking, what the fuck?
I'm pretty sure it was Southampton I called out. I've called out some... I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Southampton.
This is absolutely outrageous.
So, we're going to leave it there. What a brilliant episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening. If you want to get any questions or just tell us anything, you can tweet us at In The Mixer Show on Twitter. If not, drop us an email if that's still a thing. InTheMixerPodcast@gmail.com. Like I said, any questions, we will make sure to probably forget to answer them on the podcast. So I've been Michael, the host this week. Thank you to Phil and Elias for joining me.
You're welcome. Bye.
And we'll see you next week in a probably or even more odd, difficult situation.
A two-man.
Yes. See you soon, listeners.
Bye.
Bye.
I like it was lagging so hard in my. I didn't hear like. The...